SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to Early Line. We are live right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside on a Monday morning. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Opening week of Major League Baseball, the Masters, we're getting it popping. The NBA has finally settled in, and we know the seedings are here. Good time here. Just weather should be turning soon up here in the Northeast, and we're ready for it.
We're keeping our fingers crossed. I started the big bubble called out this morning. People tell me I look like a marshmallow. I look fantastic, and don't let them tell you anything else. Now, to the Masters. As Donnie said, Scottie Scheffler is your winner. He really wrapped this thing up, it feels like, on the second day of this tournament. Held steady, shot 10 under, won this by three strokes, Donnie. An impressive, impressive performance from Scottie Scheffler to take home that green jacket.
Yeah, it holds up, and a lot of times we see in pressure tournaments here when you're trying to get your first, you know, Masters win, your first major win, sometimes you don't get that good night's sleep before entering into that fourth round. Sometimes those little nerves come into struggle in the second part of that back nine, particularly Amen Corner at the Masters. Very nice win here. Backs up his number one overall positioning in the world as you move forward, and also takes down $2.7 million for that win and gets a green jacket. That's pretty good stuff.
Good weekend to work if you can find it, no doubt. There were some other big scores out there. Rory McIlroy actually powered up to finish second, shooting 8 under on the final day of action. But I would say the score most notable outside of Scottie Scheffler, you might even argue more notable, Tiger Woods, Donnie. Cam Stewart told us, as this goes on, this probably gets worse. And boy, did it get worse. Tiger Woods finished 13 over at Augusta.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we anticipated, right? When we were watching the shows here on Moneyline Thursday and Friday, it's like, man, Tiger's really laboring just to walk this golf course. You would have figured out that, hey, he could probably get through one or two rounds here unscathed, but once he got to the weekend, the pins get a little bit tougher, your body starts to break down on you. It's still an amazing tournament for Tiger Woods overall. Just making the cut was an accomplishment. Stuck it all the way out, too. Some players might have made the cut here, and then, hey, you know what, halfway through the third round, I think I'm going to hang this one up. My leg doesn't feel all that well. Played all the way through, so he does get some credit for me for that.
He's already said that some upcoming majors he will be participating in as well. We'll talk a little bit more about Tiger when we get to Hot or Not. We'll also be talking about the NBA. The regular season is closed. Some early postseason matchups are set. The play-in tournament will decide the rest. And one thing that's official now, Donnie, your scoring champion, 30.6 points per game, MVP candidate Joel Embiid.
Yeah, big weekend, or should I say big one-game weekend for him. That's where the Indiana Pacers goes for 40 and 20 in that basketball game, which I think we were robbed a little bit, Kevin. Talked about it last week, right? I hope he's still in that race. I hope the last game means something for the Sixers. And they said, you know what? Let's rest the big guy here. It means more in the playoffs. Because I really wanted to see him go for 40 and 20 and then back it up maybe with a 50 and 20 the following night. But it looks like maybe too little, too late for Joel Embiid as the straw poll rules all, Kevin.
It's just unfortunate that we came out of the All-Star break with a three-man race for the top of the scoring title, and none of the three guys played on the last day of the regular season, where I was hoping that someone was going to need 50 or someone would try for 65, whatever it might be. We did not get that. But a credit to Joel Embiid, certainly a big piece of his MVP case. We'll see if it is enough. Nikola Jokic certainly making a case as well. The radio audience is with us here on a Monday morning. Appreciate all those tuned in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to the Early Line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. We hit some of the big headlines, Donnie. And, you know, we just mentioned Embiid did not play, right? Giannis did not play. Jokic did not play. Luka played. The Mavs were hoping the Warriors slip up. They can move up to three. The Warriors did not slip up. And Luka Doncic had a calf strain in their win over the San Antonio Spurs.
That's just terrible. I mean, this is just devastating. If you're taking a look at one guy who you can't miss from your basketball team heading into the playoffs, it's Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. I mean, they go from a legitimate Western Conference contender to how did this team get in the playoffs? They absolutely stink. And the fact of the matter is, it is a calf strain. I'm sure they're being overcautious, but calf strains are very tricky and can certainly erupt at any time, almost like a hamstring injury. Oh, I tweaked it a little bit here. You know as well as I do, Kevin. You're a big guy there. You play it one way. That could be devastating. He could be out for the playoffs. A man, worst case scenario for the Mavericks just took place over the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The one thing that they have in their favor is about a week break until the postseason begins, but there is a chance that he is not available for the beginning of their series with the Utah Jazz. One guy who found out his future, Frank Vogel. Well, by the time he got back to the locker room, even though he was still on the court by the time this was tweeted out by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Frank Vogel, Donnie, today with the announcement will become official, fired by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't care. You know, he's going to celebrate with the young guys, Kev, right? He's going to enjoy that one last ride victory for the Lakers that maybe saved his job with the Buss family. Absolutely not. Lakers looking for new management at this point, rightfully so. You can't have a season like that where you say, okay, LeBron and AD are coming back along with the coach. Somebody's got to go, and it's probably not LeBron James.
A massive, massive offseason begins for the Lakers. Doc Rivers, Quinn Snyder, a couple of names that have potentially been linked to the LA Lakers. Two big headlines from MLB, Donnie. The Red Sox avoid a sweep on Sunday Night Baseball as the Yankees, insanely on only their third game, don't put out their best lineup. I can't stand it. Oh, and then the Rockies took the opening series off the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, trade everybody from the Dodgers. What a disappointing season here already in 2022.
Wait a minute now. Does this mean the Giants are going to win the division again? Uh-huh. Hold on. I got to fix this rundown. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk a little bit about the NBA and the regular season. Now in the books, we have some postseason matchups set. We begin in the Eastern Conference. Miami, a couple of days ago, had clinched the number one spot. But there's a lot of questions around how 2, 3, and 4 would shake out. And ultimately, the Milwaukee Bucks benched all of their key starters. Well, they played Drew Holiday for 12 seconds and gave him $200,000+. I might ask Donnie about that later. But nevertheless, they gave the game to the Cavs. They fall back behind the Boston Celtics, who needed to move up because maybe a trip to Toronto would have been worse than a trip to the Barclays Center versus Kevin Durant. We'll also get to that. But I ask you this first, Donnie, here. The Milwaukee Bucks fall back to 3. Their opening matchup is the Chicago Bulls. Some people side-eyeing the fact that they essentially punted their last game and got themselves out of an early matchup with the Brooklyn Nets. What's your takeaway from that being the Bucks' mindset?
My take a look at that is a lot of teams here, and particularly the Milwaukee Bucks, they already know their playoff, you know, scenarios, right? We won it before. You really think that we're going to be scared of one basketball team or try to avoid another team? And what's more important, because the perfect scenario played out yesterday for a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, and it had nothing to do with their conference. It was Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. You saw what happened when you're trying to play for playoff seeding where does it really matter at that point? And Luka Doncic might go down for the playoff. Now, granted, we're saying like, okay, might be a minor strain and he might never feel that. But let's just say that injury forces him to be a little bit hobbled in round one. What would you rather have? Lose a spot in seeding and a healthy Luka Doncic, or maybe move up there and risk Luka Doncic? And it was the worst case there. So take a look at the Bucks yesterday. Said, we've been there, done this before. What's more important to us here? Giannis banging up his knee injury and maybe getting the 2 seed, or just staying where we're at and, oh, yeah, we're going to get the Chicago Bulls, who, if you look at the Eastern Conference 1 through 10, and you say, okay, the Bulls made it in at 6. Yeah, I cashed a playoff ticket there since they made it in. There's a good chance that it feels like to me that the Bulls won't even win a playoff game when they match up against the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks were the big winner, even though most people say, how could you do this? How could you throw it on the final game of the season? Well, what was the point of that anyway? You're going to be lining up against the Bulls, which is a win, which, hey, when you make the NBA playoffs, you're still a good basketball team. Nobody's saying the Chicago Bulls shouldn't be in the playoffs and shouldn't be able to compete. But if you're asking me who you would rather play here, it was a win. They're healthy, the Bucks, heading into the playoffs, Kevin. And now you're taking on the Bulls? Where did they lose yesterday? What did they do yesterday that was so bad? It actually worked out perfectly for them.
I mean, look, this is why, because I know people say you don't want to run from an opponent, and I understand that. But Milwaukee's trade-off, the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, or a Bulls team that can't ever beat a really good basketball team. It'd be different if it was literally anybody other than the Bulls in that sixth spot there. But sometimes that stubborn pride, the stubborn is emphasized, and I think that's what it would have been had they pushed it down, the Milwaukee Bucks, and tried to stay up in that two spot there. And like you've said as well, Donnie, there is the chance of injury, and you probably would have only played guys like 22 minutes. You're not going to go out there and go nuts. Now, you could say if Milwaukee and Boston both handle their business in the opening round, which is possible, then they're going to have to go on the road. But also, Brooklyn's probably going to be favored in the series versus the Boston Celtics. And you know what that means? Milwaukee's home anyway in the second round, and it makes no difference. So I think it was the right decision, ultimately, by the Bucks to live with the results, basically, on this final day. Let me transition between the East to go to the West and Luka Doncic thing early. Now, there's a lot of things that we can talk about here, but I want to get right to this, Donnie. The Mavericks are a 3-point favorite right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook over the Utah Jazz for game one of that series. There was a tweet I saw from Jeff Stotts, who's at In Street Close, does a great job covering NBA injuries, who said that there's a lot of variability with calf strains. However, the fewest days that anybody missed with the calf strain was 3 days. The average was 16. Basically, Dolly, I think it would be stunning if Luka Doncic were available for the opening game of the series. What do you make of that information, plus the early line for game one being Mavericks -3?
Yeah, I don't know if they're really settling in on how serious this injury is, but I mean, calf strain is one of the worst injuries you can have. Now, granted, you can blow out your knee, you know, you can tear your Achilles. I get that. But you're talking about a calf strain, it can happen at any time. It's like a blown tire, like you're just waiting for it. It's a little bit tight here, one false move, and there you go down. Because if you're looking, the one saving grace here for the Dallas Mavericks and Luka is the NBA playoffs are ridiculous in the first round. Like, you end your season, you don't play for, like, it's the NFL, right, Kevin? You end on a Sunday, don't play for another Sunday here in the playoffs. That's basically what it is. And also the in-between games. You're not going back-to-back days. You're going to play on a Saturday and then get back to it on a Sunday or a Monday. You have many days off to try to test this. So I think you're right with your prognosis here. If you are even questioning, if Luka Doncic practices all week long and says, I feel good, you still might say, you know what? Let's get that extra 4 days here. Let's see how that calf responds to maybe a really good workout on a Thursday or a Friday. Because if you're looking for that game one here, and also if Luka Doncic says, yeah, I think I can give it a go and does, how explosive is he going to be off that calf? Does he want to get to the rim? Is he going to take those step-back three-point shots here with that calf? We don't know that right now, so I think it's a good look. Right, if you're betting right now in this game, I'm more likely just to say, okay, I'm going to take the dog right off the bat, knowing that Luka probably won't play, because if Luka doesn't play, where does that line go? If Luka does play, I don't think that line moves all that much.
I agree. I don't think the Mavericks are 6-point favorites over the Utah Jazz. That's not the case. If Luka's out, considering it's the postseason. Now, listen, there's a lot of Jazz jokes that work in here very, very, very easily. But ignoring those for a minute, if Luka is out, this line is not pick. This line is not Utah -2 either. We start to work, Utah -4. 4.5? I mean, you tell me when I'm going too far, Donnie. But if Luka Doncic is out, and by the way, they play the very first non-play-in game, Saturday, 1 o'clock. So they have the least time between when their postseason series will begin. Now, to your point about time off, their game number 2 will either be a Monday or a Tuesday. So at that point, then you will be a full week removed. And maybe Luka is out there, but if he is not, that becomes very, very interesting. I also have noticed the series price is not up on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And I don't think that is a mistake. Maybe he could come in and game number one, they're kind of going to trust he's out there, but they're not hanging a series price. And again, I do not believe that to be a mistake. Everything right now that is set, and we'll talk a lot about, you know, some of the other storylines around the NBA in hour number two, but I want to sneak this in here quickly, Donnie. There is some belief that part of the reason the Boston Celtics were willing to go up to two is not just pride, but a fear of having to go to Toronto. Perhaps some key players not going to be able to hit the vaccination mandates that require some of their key guys to make the road games in that series. We've already found out now that the Sixers are going to Toronto, and Matisse Thybulle won't be eligible to play the games in Toronto. What's your takeaway from all of this?
It could be. I think we might be reading into it a little bit too much, because if that really was an issue, I'm pretty sure somebody would have leaked something out there. Even though, as we say, Kevin, if you decline to say if you are vaccinated or not, that means maybe some of your key players would be unvaccinated at this point. But I also look at saying, from a Celtics perspective, they sort of knew that maybe the Sixers would rest guys, and you get the inclination early that Milwaukee's going to do it. So why not go out there and win that game to get a two seed? Because if you really think you're a good basketball team, you're not necessarily ducking guys, but it's nice to say, hey, I could either be a four seed right now, Kevin, or I can move up to the two. And they took that two seed here. But it also makes you think in the back of your mind saying, hey, let's get this two seed and wait it out, because eventually if we do have to go to Toronto, hopefully somebody's already knocked them out and we don't have to play them. Maybe we'll never know the answer here, but maybe if Toronto goes on a run and knocks off the Sixers and continues to win, then we'll find out. But good for Boston here. They don't have to worry about it in the meantime.
Yeah, I listen, I know conspiracies and things like that. I'm not putting names to it, but I feel like I know the answer. You ran up there to get a series versus Brooklyn. I don't know about that. MLB opening weekend. We'll talk some takeaways next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Keep things moving here. MLB opening weekend is close. One set of series down and a lot more to come. There were some big-time takeaways from the beginning of the weekend. One thing that we saw, though, Donning, was the Chicago White Sox win a series versus the Detroit Tigers. We're close to grabbing a sweep. Detroit won in some pretty epic fashion in the opening game of the series, lost the next two. But the biggest takeaway from that opening game, Lucas Giolito exited early. What's the read here with the White Sox and their ace?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to miss a few starts here. And the reason why this is so key and it's so big, the White Sox are heavy favorites here to win this division. I picked them to win the division, even though we're over a $2 price. But why did you like them? The division is a little bit down. The lineup is very good, and you have power arms at the top of that lineup, bolstered by a very good bullpen. So now you're essentially, Kevin, starting the season down maybe two of your best pitchers. And we do know injuries with pitchers do linger more than just about any other positioning, because you're taking a look at saying, like, he's not like a, it's a hamstring injury or like my calf's a little bit sore here. When you start dealing with like obliques, that's the torque on your arm. That's winding up and snapping off a slider or a breaking ball. I don't think this is going to be a big deal overall. But now for looking for the White Sox, don't you play it easy, Kevin? This isn't one like, hey, man, we can't lose ground in April and May. There's no way we can make this up against a better ball club or a better few ball clubs that are above us. So if you're the White Sox, maybe you're downgrading the month of April, saying, hey, guys, let's take it easier. Let's bring these guys back slow, because the important part is we do have the extra playoff team that's been added to Major League Baseball. And quite frankly, they're still the best team overall, Kevin, in that division. But just starting the month of April down two of your horses, not a great look here for the Chicago White Sox, even though they are talented enough to sort of buoy themselves and still stay in first place throughout the month.
Baseball, more than any other sport, embodies the cliche of it is a marathon, not a sprint. But this is not the White Sox rotation of last year as currently presented. Because not only now is Giolito down, and Lance Lynn, as you mentioned, Donnie, but Carlos Rodon is not on this team either. They're going to play on Tuesday. They're off today. Vince Velasquez is taking the mound.
Oh,
ask Johnny Wrightside about Vince. Look at the pop. He wasn't on cap. I mean, the pure pop right there. Ooh. To find out that Vince Velasquez is. I mean, Donnie might break the rule team totals coming out to you right here. I mean, Donnie, he's playing the Seattle Mariners. I mean, that Kai France out there. or Ty France, whatever. I'm thinking I'm confusing him with the UFC fighter. But there's gonna be bombs aplenty out there, DRS, on my guy Vinny V.
Get ready for the White Sox. Look, I'm going to give you a little precursor of what you can anticipate here. Now, for the Philadelphia Phillies, for maybe like 10 years, it felt like every time Vince Velasquez took them out, they go, remember that time 7 years ago where he struck out 16 batters, and then he would proceed to pitch 3 2/3 innings, 97 pitches, give up 3 runs, and eggs in absolutely torture bullpen. I can't wait to – you know what's funny about that? Usually we don't bet that many times on team totals early in the season. But if Vince Velasquez is betting, I'm not even talking, Kevin, because I like the bullpen here for the White Sox. You might be looking at one of those first 5 innings team totals just as a straight-up fade on Vinny Velasquez. But it's a great point you bring up where you lose 2 heavyweights at the top of your lineup. Eventually, you run out of starting pitching, and it turns into Vince Velasquez starts in the beginning of the season. Boy, oh boy.
Now, Vince Velasquez was my second favorite Philly last year to take the mound. My favorite, by a lot, was Spencer Howard, who is now a Texas Ranger. Now, Donnie, we are 3 or 4 games into the baseball season, depending on your team, and I've probably already made the best bet I'll make all year, which was the Blue Jays to score first versus the Texas Rangers. As Spencer Howard got through 0 batters before giving up a blast to George Springer. He gave them, Donnie, a solid 3 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned, 4 home runs versus the Blue Jays. The wild thing was, though, the Rangers won the game. It was a nuts series, Donnie, that saw 43 total runs plated in only 3 games. Look, the Blue Jays won the series, but their pitching, point-blank period, was terrible in these 3 games.
Yeah, it really was. And my favorite part about this, you know, this is great. Like, we started in April where it's like you're just trying to get your feet wet. And 2 of the first pitchers we bring up are Vince Velasquez, one of the Phillies' starred prospects in a trade from about 10 years ago. And then also Spencer Howard, who's supposed to light the organization. Oh, did you see how well he pitched in double A and triple A? Gets to the majors. Like, yeah, the dude throws like 86 miles an hour and now is getting torched here. No surprise. But I do think also no surprise is Toronto and Texas scoring runs. Last year, if you looked at Texas, they were terrible across the board. But the one thing they did improve this year, right, was going out and getting some bats in their lineup. And that looks like that's proving true already. And Toronto, no matter who the pitching is, no matter where they're going up against it, what ballpark they're playing in, we expect them to hit as well. So we see those 43 total runs scored in that series. It doesn't surprise me one bit. And if you're taking a look overall throughout the season, it matches up well. Both of these teams play in a dome. They're going to have good hitting conditions each and every night. And also, keep in mind, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today, they do have retractable domes in both of those stadiums, being Texas and also Toronto, when the roof is open. Now, look, we're going to get a little slander here early in April because, Kevin, I'm going to ask you one quick question real quick. Where do the Texas Rangers play? What state is that?
I mean, that's Texas. That's Texas.
Simple. That's Texas. So some of the softer fans in Major League Baseball who apparently today it's 87 degrees in Texas. What is your advantages here, Kevin? Oh, man, open it up. What a great spring day here that this roof might be closed. So keep an eye on that because if those roofs are open, they are going to be able to launch all throughout the summer. But I'm impressed. I was impressed by the opening series by both of those teams really getting after Kevin at the plate.
And just know if those roofs will be open, Donnie will be the first to let you know as he will be calling stadiums personally. Mm-hmm. And that's a shoot, brother. He will absolutely be calling them. Yes. I will just say quickly again for Toronto, we know the lineup is going to smash. We know the rotation is supposed to be very good. Robbie Ray is not there anymore. The reigning AL Cy Young. That is a, like, you won the series. I don't think that was, though, absolutely can't believe that anybody thinks that this team is anything other than the AL East champion, especially considering that the defending champions did exactly what they did last year in the Rays sweeping the Orioles. Now, I know it is very difficult to not go, but it's the Orioles. This is how the Rays won the division last year. Last year, Donnie, they were 18-1. 18-1 versus Baltimore last year. Already off to a 3-0 start. This is what Tampa does.
No, it is what Tampa does. And when you go and you say to yourself, okay, how does Tampa actually win these baseball games? You look at the lineup, and that's actually a very good lineup. a lot of younger stars that they had. But when you look at the pitching rotation, which how many teams go out there and say, I got to spend, I don't know, $250+ million on an ace starter because that's the way you win in Major League Baseball. Let me read you these names here. McClanahan, Rasmussen, Patino, Yarbrough, and an older Corey Kluber. And you say to yourself, say, oh, how can this team match up against each and every year with these type of players and losing star pitchers? Like, I don't know, Chris Archer leaving town, a Blake Snell leaving town. It seems like everybody, maybe a Morton leaves town. You say you got all these star pitchers and you let them get away and just replace them with random guys. I don't know, maybe the analytics just work so much better in Tampa. But case in point on the season, it was no surprise here. And we have a hot or not topic coming up that's going to deal with the Baltimore Orioles. Because usually in Major League Baseball, as we like to say, the worst teams in the league, Kevin, you know, win 60 games or more, and that's typically true every year. It's going to be an interesting talking point on them. But case in point, same thing year after year after year. No matter what happens in the offseason, no matter what lineup the Rays put out, they're always competitive. And it doesn't mean they're going to sweep each and every series because obviously they're going to be playing in a tough division. But when you have your chance, you say, okay, you line up the Rays versus a team like the Orioles. They're just better than you. They're just more fundamentally sound. They're better in the bullpen. Their starting pitchers give you decent looks and some timely hitting. That's exactly what happened on the opening series of baseball season.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Baltimore Orioles when we get to hot or not. I want to talk about the Angels and the Astros. I think, Donnie, we both thought this would be an important series for the Angels early season. I think it was important, just not in the way the Angels were hoping to see it play out. Four at home versus Houston. You drop three of the four games. You can't have that. I know it's early, Donnie. I know it's early. I know maybe this team will look, if they're a wild card, they'll be happy about that. You just got to get to the post. I understand that all, but man, you got to have a little more juice here if you're the Angels, Donnie, and they just didn't.
They didn't. And also, when you take a look, Noah Syndergaard, who's one of those question marks coming into the season, coming off injury, he was your star of the series. You know, helped you to a 2-0 win over the Astros. But outside of that, forget about Noah Syndergaard, who did pitch extremely well. And that's a really good sign, because if he's going to be healthy throughout the remainder of the year, him and Shohei Ohtani makes a pretty good 1-2 punch. But talking about Shohei Ohtani, hey, I understand. You can't be the MVP every single night or every series here. He starts out 2-for-17, which you really can't have. But the bigger issue here, Kevin, that we talked about when we started saying, okay, how do we think the Angels can fare this year? Well, the top four in that lineup have to produce, because there's really not a lot left from 5 through 9 in that lineup. And take a look at this. Outside of the game, you know, they scored 6 runs in a 13-6 loss. But besides that, 1 run, 2 runs, 1 run outside of that, is it the same old from the Angels here? And what is their pathway this year? Because I understand it's the first series. The Astros are very good, and the Astros are favored to win the division. But I was hoping for at least a split out of the series, and maybe the Angels take the series and say, hey, look, man, we might be something to deal with here in 2022. But I'm telling you, and you can't do this. It's a long season. But aren't you getting, Kevin, those same vibes from the Angels going, maybe it's just never their year, and they just waste MVP-caliber players? It's crazy.
And again, I mean, look, they were favored in 2 of these games. Yeah, the other games were pick. What are you going to go to Houston and take 3 of 4? Unlikely. Yeah, you can beat up on Oakland. Texas, we saw, Donnie's not going to be a tough out, or it's not going to be an easy out, rather. They led in every single game that they played versus Toronto. If they're going to hit like that, they're going to obviously be in ball games. And Seattle's back to last year's ways. They're just going to win a bunch of one-run baseball games. That team's 2-1 with a -4 run difference. Wild stuff. Hot or not, it's on deck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot or not time right here on Kevin Walsh, of course, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We lined it up in the golf world, and this is right up Donnie's alley. I believe Donnie's answered this question on a regular basis to many, many people.
Yeah.
We'll see how the answer stands, though, after Tiger Woods' most recent performance at Augusta. Donnie, hot or not, Tiger Woods will win another PGA Tour event.
Time is on my side, so I'm going to say absolutely, you know. So let me read the question again. Tiger Woods will win another PGA Tour event. So, I mean, you set me up on this stuff here. So I'm going to go that is a cold and a not here because I don't think he is going to win. So it takes me a few times to read through these things. Now, the reason is he's older. He's injured. He's more injured than he even was a few years ago. And, yes, we saw him play at the Masters, which is the perfect golf course for Tiger Woods, who's played there thousands of times if we include practice rounds. So now you're saying, okay, we're going to move these golf tournaments around and maybe majors that he might struggle at, the U.S. Open, the PGA, or the British Open. They're played, as I said, on different golf courses and much different circumstances where if you are spraying your driver, you will be penalized for doing that. If you miss the fairway, you are penalized for doing that as well. So I'm going to say with a no here, and it's not because Donnie Wright sets it up here being a hater towards Tiger Woods, because maybe a little bit here. I am a little bit of a hater. But when I talk overall, like, I didn't think he would win after all those back surgeries. And he came back and won the Masters, which was sensational. And you can't take it away from, everybody backed up in that tournament and let him win. No, people don't just let you win the Masters. You have to go out there and take it. And you don't have to fold up down the stretch like everybody's doing up around you. And he won that year. And I'm not even going to say that. Remember the end of the year FedEx tour where they quoted, you know, Justin Rose, I believe, won the $10 million because he won the overall tournament, but Tiger Woods won that section of the tournament. I don't even count that here. So basically, like, one win in 10 years, and he's getting older. I'm still going to say no on this right now. And I know a lot of people, and if you are the sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook and alike, you had to like this weekend, Kevin, because I have to say, they were probably very profitable because of all those wagers on Tiger Woods here, fives, tens, $100, $50 on him to win, and he didn't even come close. They're looking forward to him playing as many tournaments as he possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the finishing position for Tiger, right? How many guys finish worse than Tiger? Scott, Homa, shout out Max Homa for making the cut. Mackenzie Hughes, Daniel Berger, and Tyrell Hatton, Donnie. Only five golfers, Donnie, who ultimately made the cut finished with worse scores than Tiger Woods. Matchup bets weren't in their favor. Top 20, top 10, top 5, win the tournament. As you said, all came their way towards the book. And the interesting thing is I was initially going to tell you that this is also a not for me, or as you like to put it, cold, hot, what? That, as you so eloquently put this when we asked the question off the top here, because, Donnie, Tiger Woods is already committed to the Open Championship. And I thought to myself, maybe Tiger's only going to come out for the big events, the majors. And if that's going to be the case, that's really tough. That Tiger's going to take it down amongst the absolute best every single time he's out there. We know that the best fields are in those major tournaments. However, Tiger Woods is tied with Sam Snead for the all-time record for PGA Tour event wins at 82. At some point, Donnie, Tiger sneaks into the Valero Championship, finds himself win number 83. I think he has to give it a try because this is his first one back, Donnie. He had to get a little bit healthier and find his way into a lighter field, be a shark out there amongst a bunch of fish, and take down the record 83rd PGA Tour event.
It's actually a really good point you bring up here because you can play off the same thing where the reason why the Masters works, he knows that course like the back of his hand. You play the same course every single year. He's won multiple times on that golf course. So when you start to look and say, you're right, if he just plays the majors here, well, maybe he has a chance second to get the Masters, but you know the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the British Open, they're rotating golf courses all the time. So it's not the same feel that you get where you know exactly where you have to place that ball. But at the same time, Tiger Woods has unlimited resources on the PGA Tour, which means he's won so many times, he could probably still have exemptions until he's 80 years old. So what do you do if you are a master golfer, just like Tiger Woods used to do in the past? He doesn't play a ton of golf. He's not one of those weekend grinders, Kevin. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out and play every single week because I need the money, and every time I play, I win. Tiger Woods has more money to say, you know what? Instead of playing, I don't know, 25 times this year, I can get away with playing 15 times this year, win a major to stay fresh and still keep everything on the up and up. He can do that here, Kevin. So he says, okay, maybe I want to go to play at Arnold's tournament down in Florida. Maybe I want to play in Jack's tournament up in Ohio where I know exactly what to do on this golf course. I'm going to take time off. I'm going to play, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks as opposed to once every 2 weeks or every week this month. So he can sort of play it up where some of these guys, Kevin, have played 6-7 straight tournaments. He can just parachute in and say, I'm fresh, I'm healthy. I can give you 4 rounds right now. So there's a really good chance that he can actually do it. But again, time is on my side now with Tiger Woods. Multiple injuries here that could flare up at any time. You know, the back injury could come back. We don't know how that leg has any permanent damage done on it. But Tiger Woods is the ultimate competitor. And if he feels like he can lace him up one weekend on a certain golf course, you can certainly put through a couple good rounds and be in contention. I do believe that. But for winning again, I'm going to say no here.
What's going to be really interesting as well, just, you know, the one market, Donnie, where the pro Tiger better cleaned up was Tiger to make the cut. Sweat-free, really, right? That's going to be interesting to watch that kind of balance moving forward. If the story on Tiger is going to be solid through two rounds, starts to really wear through the next two, the gambler will start to figure that out. The book starts to figure that out. You're paying through the nose for make the cuts, and then all of a sudden, you're still not getting the kind of value you were hoping for in the outright market. Still a fun weekend at Augusta, no doubt about it, and it was fantastic to still see Tiger out there. 13 over, still the story of the tournament, aside from probably Scottie Scheffler winning the whole thing, and a congrats to him, no doubt. I want to make a transition over to the NBA. This is probably the last time we'll talk about this until they ultimately give out the award. Joel Embiid, Donnie, ends with the scoring title. 30.6 points per game. A fantastic season for the Philadelphia 76ers. Definitely the best season of Joel Embiid's career. Hot or not, Embiid should win MVP.
I'm going to say hot. I really am. And it's not just because I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, but if I look at the totality of the season, and we don't know how this is going to turn out. This is a fascinating topic here because, as we've said, a lot of the eyes were starting to bring the attention on the MVP award once you saw the straw poll. Because if you would have told me that there's no straw poll here, Kevin, and I'm even saying who's actually going to win it, because we're sort of reminding ourselves and the audience that, hey, look, the FanDuel Sportsbook isn't actually voting on this, and that -190 price, -210 price that you're seeing on Joel Embiid for a time frame about maybe up to, 3 weeks ago, oh, it's a lock. You know, Joel Embiid's going to win this. We had to remind ourselves of that. So then when you talk to people in the know or take that straw poll around the NBA at what these guys are talking about, it was pretty apparent that Nikola Jokic is going to be a serious force here to try to be an MVP. But also, the best part about this was, it wasn't as if that straw poll came out, Kevin, and both of these guys said, hey, you know what? Jokic already wrapped it up, and I'm going to take it easy. Or Joel Embiid goes, remember his quote, I don't even know what I have to do to win the MVP. Well, he kept bringing it every single night and ends with a finale of 40 points and 21 rebounds against the Indiana Pacers, which was absolutely incredible. So I'm going to stay and maybe fade the straw poll just a little bit. And also, keep in mind, it's human element, it's nature here. Because Joel Embiid, even though he said that, I truly believe it. If I can't win it this year, where I was healthy and being an absolute force on the basketball court as a center, a center that just took down the scoring title in the NBA, and that's not good enough to win an MVP award. And also keep in mind, Jokic has already won this award before, so it's not as if you're saying, like, hey, we're just going to give it to this guy once again. It's hard. Like, voters generally don't want to give guys continuous MVP awards. They like to change things up, and particularly when they see one player like Joel Embiid having his best season of his career, which he's probably not going to be able to replicate in the future, you give it to him because that's your one chance, Kevin, to give somebody the MVP award. But I have to say this, if you're just giving out these MVP awards, both of these guys are equally talented and equally deserving. Because again, when the straw poll did come out, Joel Embiid went nuts, but also scorched earth, Nikola Jokic as well. I still think that Joel Embiid should be the MVP, but boy, that straw poll comes out. I'm anticipating this to be mayhem if it comes out and Joel Embiid still wins the award.
And by the way, unless you are a Nuggets fan or have the Jokic ticket, how are you not rooting for that? It'd be hilarious. It would be fantastic to watch play out. It really would. With that being said, I do think Jokic deserves it. Now, here's the thing. If Jokic didn't get it, we have seen many, many, many players not be given MVPs they deserve because of voter fatigue. Michael doesn't have 10 MVPs. LeBron doesn't have 10 MVPs. They should. They don't. It happens. That's how this game goes. Nikola Jokic ultimately takes this down with a fantastic year. And Embiid had a fantastic year. And I know Embiid says, what more could I have done? Donnie, I guess with things were somewhat even, but I guess where Jokic edged him is not only a statistical edge, but the feeling that he was carrying a bigger load. But I want to make one point, and this might be sour, you know, sour milk, maybe so. I believe in my heart of hearts, though, Donnie, had Chris Paul never been injured, he wins the MVP award. Because to be honest with you, Donnie, people are trying to sneak Devin Booker into this race. He won't win. He will finish top five on a number of ballots. He might finish first team All-NBA. Devin Booker, if I had a vote, is not first or second team All-NBA. I like Devin Booker. Chris Paul is a star of that team. If Chris Paul stayed healthy, by the way, they probably win maybe instead of 64, 67, 68 basketball games, Donnie. And they would have had then an overwhelming record with some more advanced statistics to back it up. Chris Paul's assist crown would have been shined a brighter light. And ultimately, Donnie, the answer to Jokic and Embiid of how did I not win is they would have said Chris Paul led that team to a record more than 10 games better than everybody else in the NBA.
Yeah, and it would have been fun to watch it play out, too, because if you're asking me right now who's going to win the NBA championship, it's going to be the Phoenix Suns, which means that they're probably going to be buoyed in the playoffs and get an MVP in the finals. If they win, it probably will be Chris Paul at that time. But also in the MVP race here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you know, it's funny that we talk about Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and Giannis is just a complete afterthought at 8-1 here, despite having an absolutely monstrous overall season here. So some of these straw polls that came out would have been interesting to see if that poll actually had Giannis a little bit higher and what his odds would have been. But rightfully so. We'll find out in a couple weeks here whether it's Jokic or Embiid. One of those two guys is going to take it down, and both equally deserving.
There are so many storylines to watch throughout this NBA postseason. I will tell you this, and in our next segment, we'll talk about the Baltimore Orioles for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I know this for sure, every postseason game, this will be on Embiid's mind. You might say, doesn't he have to worry about what's in front of him? It makes him better. And if round one plays out according to the odds, and Embiid moves on, and Jokic is eliminated by the Golden State Warriors, believe you me, Donnie, and you know this, all of the Embiid voters will feel very emboldened. And Nikola Jokic, if he is eliminated in round one, has next to zero chance at a three-peat next season.
Yeah, and that's rightfully so, because no matter what he does, the Aaron Rodgers rule, right? What's he going to do next year? Average a triple-double, 40, 30, and 20? That's probably what he has to do. Come on.
But then again, maybe he'll average a triple-double and somehow win it again. We'll close it out with the Orioles next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Baltimore Orioles are terrible. But how bad are the Baltimore Orioles? Already, Donnie, 0-3. This team is now going to host the Milwaukee Brewers for an upcoming series. We'll preview that game in hour number two. But right now, Donnie, hot or not, the Orioles will finish with the worst record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, this is hot. And they might not even be, Kevin, the worst team in Major League Baseball. But if you take a look at their opening series, which they played a good Tampa Rays team, 4 runs for them, 15 against. Get used to this. Why? Because it's not so much, Kevin, sometimes how bad your baseball team is. It's if your baseball team isn't very good and what division you play in. Where are the wins coming from this year in the AL East? Against the Rays? Nah, just got swept. Against Toronto, just bashed them out of the ballpark? Probably not many wins there. The New York Yankees the same? And oh yeah, the Boston Red Sox. So you're telling me the Orioles are in with the Rays, Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox. How many wins are we actually going to get? Because typically we say even the worst of the worst, Kevin, still wins 60 games. And I know it's only one series. And yes, they got swept by a good Rays team. But there's going to be a lot of sweeps in the future here for the Baltimore Orioles. Absolutely 100%. I would be shocked if the Baltimore Orioles did not have the worst record in baseball when it was all said and done this year.
I totally agree. Because here's the thing, right? Who are the other contenders for this? Pittsburgh, and Arizona. The Rockies maybe. Are – here's the thing. Yeah. Like the Rockies are going to do this thing again where they win a bunch of games at home, I feel. Like, I know – like, I'm not trying to overreact to the opening series, but they did it last year. They're probably going to have a weird home field advantage at Coors Field that keeps them, you know, above, you know, whatever the worst record might be. Baltimore is just going to be embarrassed this year, embarrassed by these other teams. And I'll tell you, and I'll add this as well, because this is what happened last year. If one of those four in the AL East misses the playoffs, it will be decided by who struggles versus Baltimore. Whoever wins that division, it will be decided by if anyone can do what the Rays did last year, rip off an 18-1 record versus the Baltimore Orioles. That team's terrible. They kind of control a lot, though. Hour number two, the play-in odds.